this is our number
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome. It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. And we are now getting even more details on this horrible breaking news story. And it's horrible for the alleged crime itself, but it is also a horrible reflection of what our city and our region has become. A man is in custody. He allegedly attacked a woman inside the King County Courthouse this morning, a couple of hours ago. They have that huge homeless encampment on the plaza of the courthouse. They've announced that they want everybody to enter and leave the building in the doorway furthest from the homeless encampment because it's so dangerous. Very few are masked. None have been tested for COVID. And it's right adjacent to the courthouse. There was a murder from that homeless encampment about 3 weeks ago. And now this morning, the details that we are getting is that, and this is what Seattle police are saying. It is a sexual assault. Police say the man was able to successfully enter the courthouse and bypassed the building's metal detectors and the security guards stationed at the entrance. How in the world does a homeless guy bypass? I mean, if they just let him through the metal detectors because it says he has to go to the bathroom, that might be one thing. But the description from the Seattle police, and we're working to get clarification on all of this as we speak because this is breaking news just coming into us. But they said he was able to bypass the building's metal detectors and the security guards stationed at the entrance just moments before the attack. The woman, 7 months pregnant, in the restroom, she was able to scream during the attack. Somebody inside the building was able to provide help to the victim and help apprehend the suspect, according to the police. They have let this nightmare continue. Judges have been telling us that the King County Courthouse is not safe. They've said that it's difficult in good conscience to ask defendants and the accused and the jury to come to the King County Courthouse because the city of Seattle, the Seattle City Council, Jenny Durkin, they have allowed an unbelievably dangerous situation to just continue and linger. The murder wasn't enough for them to sweep the encampment. And I am angry. I'm furious as I hear this story because the answer is clear. And they are all 180 degrees from the truth of this matter. Every homeless person should be offered a social safety net. I'm going to preface it every time I say this because I don't want anybody to think that that would not be my top priority. Get them the help they need. Get them the bed they need. Get them off the streets. But they got to be clean. Get them the drug abuse, the alcohol abuse treatment that they need. If they refuse it, and 95% of the homeless people on the streets refuse the help, if they refuse it, they can either move on or they can be put in jail. But that is as far from what the Seattle City Council and Jenny Durkin would do. But I am 100% certain that my approach is the correct one. They care more about vagrant heroin and meth addicts than they do murder victims. They care more about homeless drug addicts than they do a 7-month pregnant woman at the King County Courthouse. This is... I'm at a loss. You know how rare that is. Born and raised in this city, I never dreamed I would see this. It's heartbreaking. We're just getting some audio in. Sergeant Randy Usurek with the Seattle Police. He explains what they know so far in a press briefing that happened just moments ago.
We had got this as some type of a sexual assault, and so the apparently the victim was working here at the courthouse when she was approached by the suspect in a bathroom. And then, you know, as to what all the details are that transpired after that, that is currently under investigation. We do have the suspect in custody. He's currently being questioned in our SAU office prior to being booked into the jail.
Another law enforcement source told me that it was a vagrant man. The Seattle Police Sergeant says they don't know for certain that he's tied to the adjacent camp.
At this point, it's unknown if he's associated with the camp that's here on the south side of the courthouse or not.
But I can say it is a likelihood, but Seattle Police have not definitively tied him to that camp yet. And so they are continuing to investigate this. Oh, let's see. I'm just second by second, I'm getting more audio on this from fantastic producer Chris Martin, who's in for Nicole today.
I can go ahead and play this third one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't see this third one. You play it, please, Chris.
He was asked by a reporter, as a woman, she was concerned in what can women do, and this is his response.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, for something like this, you know, any time you're in, whether it's familiar or unfamiliar surroundings, you know, we certainly want people to be vigilant, you know, be aware of their surroundings, you know, and certainly, you know, for anybody at times, you know, listen, you know, if you're feeling uncomfortable, something's going wrong, listen to that voice in your head and, you know, do everything you can to protect yourself.
Unbelievable. You know, I was just talking to one of my daughters about carrying pepper spray everywhere she goes in the city because of stuff like this. And then, Chris, I know you are just getting this audio as quickly as possible for us. The line I was just talking about from the transcript that I've seen is that the man somehow bypassed the building's metal detectors and the security guards. If you can find that cut as you go through this presser just concluded. And then if there are any details on the woman screaming and a good Samaritan coming. So as Chris gets all of this, we'll share it with you right at the end of the Fastest 15 here. But that is the breaking news that we're covering right now. A vagrant, or a man that a police source described to me as a vagrant, attempted to rape a 7-month pregnant woman at the King County Courthouse. I don't know how the Seattle City Council members live with themselves when they see what's happening. You know, we heard from the mom in Louisiana. Her son had come to Seattle, she said, to turn over a new leaf. No, he didn't. Her son, this is my guess. Her son came to Seattle from Louisiana because this is the best place in the country to be a drug addict. You won't be jailed. Drugs are legal, thanks to our prosecutor. You can shoplift with impunity, and probably nothing will happen. But if it does, you'll be back on the
house.
And so on it goes. How do the Seattle City Council members look themselves in the mirror? And how do they live with themselves? Will they talk to this 7-month pregnant woman who a vagrant tried to rape, allegedly? Would they look her in the eye? Would they explain to her why they've allowed this camp by the side of the courthouse for a couple of years now? Would they do that? Would they have the guts to do that? I doubt it. All right, we do have some other news. Like I said, we're just gathering more audio on this, and we will share it with you right at the end of the Fastest 15. Meanwhile, Jay Inslee, a couple of days ago, he was at a clean energy plant up in Everett. All Jay Inslee talks about is masks and climate change. Jay Inslee has not addressed, to my knowledge, the murders that have happened all around his state. Clark County deputy murdered last week. 5 in Seattle over the weekend. Shooting in SeaTac 2 nights ago. A murder in Puyallup last night. In Yakima, a law enforcement officer and a suspect exchanged gunfire. Both of them struck. Both are alive. A couple of days after that incident. Why hasn't Jay Inslee addressed this? Masks and climate change. And I saw a study today, man. It's in the Seattle Times. Listen to this headline. Warming planet means 83 million face death from heat this century. And they quoted Columbia University's Earth Institute. I'm sure they're unbiased. I'm guessing the Earth Institute wouldn't say, we're going to be fine. Temperatures go up a degree. Man adapts really well to changing environments and put more air conditioners in houses like they do in Phoenix, in Palm Springs, Palm Desert, in all the areas where people have lived with temperatures 20 degrees warmer than Seattle year round. But now they don't address man's adapting. But now we know that according to Columbia University, an Ivy League school, they must be smart. Now, somebody told me, stop the whispering, Dory. You sound like Joe Biden. That's a good criticism. That's a really, really good criticism. 83 million people face death from heat this century. So this is just, of course, and they said the outcome of this survey or this study was that they should raise the price of carbon-based fuel so high that people will stop using them. So you ready for $10 a gallon gas? We're already headed towards $5 a gallon, thanks to Jay Inslee and Joe Biden in our state. We're about to have the highest gas tax in the nation once all of Inslee's schemes kick into place. You ready for $10 a gallon? Because they want to make it so punitive for people to drive that they want to destroy your family's ability to make a living, for example. This is the extremity of progressivism. And when they say 83 million face death, they just sound ridiculous. That's so ridiculously hyperbolic right there. All right, next up in the Fastest 15... Man, those college kids, they have been taught well, and they have been taught to really hate the United States of America. Now, I mentioned, I'm not watching the Olympics. I just don't have interest this year. But I don't hate our country. But campus reform, they went to a university in Florida, I think it was South Florida, and they talked to the kids there. About, are they rooting for Team USA over there in Japan?
Are you proud to be an American?
No. I feel embarrassed to be an American every day. I think a lot of things about this country are really embarrassing. Just like, I mean, racist history, colonization, even currently, just what's going on with politics and the cops.
Not really in this climate. No, like, I'm a black person. So obviously, I experience a lot of there's like oppression that comes with that.
Not most of the time. I think sometimes it's just a little embarrassing. We claim to like support everyone, but you know, we continue to support Israel, which is, you know, which are dislocating quite a few Palestinian people. And
which are dislocating. Maybe if you'd spent a little more time on English instead of social justice causes. By the way, coming up at 1:30, this is right after the 1:30 news, I'm going to talk to a local school board president. Their school board has just banned critical race theory. They are taking the radical position that schools should be about educating kids and not about turning them into little social justice warriors like all these robots on college campuses. But over the years, they have been told by their teachers, now by their professors, that they should hate America. America is a source of embarrassment for them. All right, and finally, in our Fast 15, I do want to get back to the breaking news and the top story of what's happened at the King County Courthouse. Randy Husarek, sergeant with Seattle Police, he just finished his press conference. And here's the clip I asked Chris to grab. Here's how the suspect got into the building.
From my understanding or whatnot with this, you know, I mean, the courthouse is open for regular business and whatnot, and provided you're screened and made it through the metal detectors, that's all you need to make entry into the courthouse. So how specifically he got in, like I said, I assume that he probably just walked through the doors, but you need to confirm that with folks here at King County.
Okay, so that is good update, because I had been given info that he bypassed the metal detectors and security guards, but it sounds like he just walked through, went to a bathroom, and tried to rape, allegedly, a 7-month pregnant woman. Another day in our dystopian city and region. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we will give you the world. And we will continue this breaking news. But coming up next, I will talk to a local school board that has banned critical race theory. They're taking the radical approach that schools should be about educating kids. What a bunch of radicals they must be. All right, details coming up right after the news here in the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we've been talking about extensively, the most racist curriculum I have ever seen in our schools is critical race theory. And there are at least 10 local school districts that have plans for critical race theory this upcoming school year, but some are going in the other direction, which I love. And we've got a lot of people on various school boards and parent involvement that are rejecting CRT. One of the districts that has said no go here is the Chehalis School District. And Jay Vanderstoop is the president of the school board there, joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Jay, appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So as I said in my intro, this is something, Jay, that has so bitterly divided people, but I am seeing parents across the ideological spectrum, black and white, who have stood up at school board meetings across the country and said, we reject this racist curriculum. Tell me why your school district or school board decided to make this statement.
Well, so our statement is, I think, a middle ground. We have been pressed, as school districts across the country have, to get into the middle of culture wars. In Chehalis, in June last month, 100% of the graduating class was admitted to college, and 100% were admitted the year before. We had 99% graduation rate a year ago, and 96% for this class.
Excellent.
And half of our students are free or reduced lunch, meaning low-income families. And we are focused on education and getting them ready for college and career, which is the most important equity, social justice work we can do. And we do not want to be drawn into culture wars that distract the attention from education in the classroom. And so
Sure. We
wanted to get ahead. We wanted to get ahead and make our own statement that makes clear what we are focused on. And that's what we're focused on. And
Let me ask you, how weird is the world right now, or the United States right now, that it sounds like a breath of fresh air for you to say that we're going to focus on educating kids? I mean, how bizarre is it that sounds like something that is, you know, all too rare and just exciting to hear when there's so much of the social justice message being spewed in schools?
Yes, that it. I know it does seem odd. It is odd that preparing kids through curriculum to make their own decisions, make their own choices in life, and have their opportunities to go get some kind of credential past high school, which most jobs, family wage jobs, require.
Sure.
Yeah, it shouldn't be controversial. but to be fair, the attacks are coming from both sides. I mean, we are in the middle, of course, of a, we have a divided society, right. And both sides, people on both ends want to pick up issues to use as tools in this political cultural war that the country's involved in. And we just did not want to get in the middle of that. So we wanted to say, this is our position. We're focused on educating children.
Right. And let me share with my listeners, because in your board equity statement, you acknowledge that not all kids start at a equitable jumping off point, as you put it. Further, it is acknowledged there's evidence of systemic wrongdoing in the United States where we've failed to live up to our ideals. But then you say, what is the core of all of this? We will not teach Chehalis students that people, due to their race or background, are inherently good or bad, guilty or innocent, more or less capable than others. And so I love you acknowledge that it's not all equal, and you know, I can testify to that. I grew up in poverty, but then you say you're not going to let people be taught that we should treat people differently based on their skin color.
That's absolutely correct. And I'll say our board represents people who are on the more liberal side and on the more conservative side, and we hashed this out and came together. I will say they raised the concern on that from some of the teachers. Well, if you say you ban critical race theory, I mean, suppose a kid raises their hand in a class and says, well, I've been reading about critical race theory, and what do you think about it? We don't want the teacher to be in a position where, well, they can't say it, right. You know, they can't say the words any more than a kid can raise their hand and say, you know, I just read Karl Marx, and here's what, tell me about communism, or read a book about the Nazis, and it, of course it should be discussed, be able to be discussed, but we're not going to promote any ideology, including that one.
You know, I have sitting right next to me as we speak a picture. I was a high school girls basketball coach. I had a state championship team 5 years ago, and I have a picture of that team on my desk. Very diverse group of kids, four African-American girls, one Asian, five Caucasian, and all these kids came together as one and achieved at the highest level. And I worry about this, Jay, that just 5 years removed from that, that we do have a lot of school districts. And as I said, at least 10 here in the Puget Sound area that are teaching kids that instead of all coming together as one with shared mission, shared goals, that, you know, the white kids and the black kids are either the victims or the oppressors. It's frightening to me how many school districts are embracing this divisiveness, and I believe it's very racist, this curriculum.
Well, I think about a child, and you can choose to say one of these two things to that child, and you can decide for that child which would be the better message, give them greater opportunity in life. One message is, as you say, your race determines your outcome in life, and you are stuck based upon your race or gender. That's one message. The other message is, everyone in our society and in the world faces challenges, but in this country, you have the opportunity to rise as high as your talent and hard work will take you if you meet your challenges.
Absolutely.
And move forward. You've got a choice of telling a kid one of those two messages. And I think it's pretty obvious, and I think a whole lot of history of people coming up in this society shows that the second message gives them an opportunity.
Absolutely. And you know, the former message that you just mentioned, it tells, you know, white kids you should feel guilty because of your skin color. It tells black kids you don't really have a chance because of your skin color. And that's a horrible mess. Both of those are horrible messages to deliver to kids. So, well, Jay, well done. Was it a unanimous vote by the board, or was there some split?
It was. I mean, it involved give and take, discussion, and as you can see from our equity statement, we do not specifically say the critical race theory can't be discussed in a Chehalis classroom, but right. we do say we're not going to be promoting any ideology. And, you know, the other attack on our statement is that, well, we're going to fall into the trap of whitewashing American history. No, we specifically say, as you just read, that the negative side of racial politics and policies is part of American history, and children should learn it.
It's quite the radical step you guys have taken, a school district that says we're going to focus on educating kids. You radicals down there in Chehalis. My goodness.
I know.
Jay, it's really great talking with you. I appreciate your time this afternoon.
All right. Thank you, Dory.
All right. Jay Vanderstoop, he's the board director for the Chehalis School District, which will not be teaching critical race theory in the years ahead. All right. Love to know what you think about all of this. You can text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more to come here on the Dory Monson Show. Coming up in the big lead at 2, we will have a complete recap of the breaking news that we've been following all afternoon. A man described as a vagrant attempted to rape a 7-month pregnant woman in the bathroom at the King County Courthouse, where there is a large camp that's been on the plaza there for years now. So we will tell you all about that. And big decisions ahead for voters. Primary ballots have to be in by Tuesday, I believe. I will tomorrow, both on the air and on mynorthwest.com, I will have some election endorsements, because a lot of people have asked for my opinion, because, you know, people want to vote a straight Dory ticket. So I'll get some endorsements out there. Seattle mayor's horribly important. Because Jenny Durkin has been just a failure. And I say that while acknowledging that she has been a little bit of a firewall between the even greater failure that is the Seattle City Council. And so I'm a little amazed as we talk about the need to clean up crime. One of the council members who's running for mayor is Lorena Gonzalez, who would be a disaster as mayor. And if you want more proof of that, she's put out a Twitter thread about gun violence. So Lorena Gonzalez, here's what she wrote on Twitter. Every life lost to gun violence is tragic and preventable. Many of the shootings inside our city lines come from guns that are legally purchased in other jurisdictions with looser laws, thanks in part to the lobbying of pro-gun groups like the NRA. So yeah, it's pro-gun groups that are causing the skyrocketing death toll in Seattle. That is just, it's crazy to read. And it's always gun violence. Yeah, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when rocks were getting dropped on vehicles on I-5, I-90. Why didn't they call that rock violence? The woman who was the victim of an attempted rape in the courthouse. Why don't they call that genitalia violence? No, they say a vagrant man attacked her. But in everything except shootings, they actually identify the culprit, the perpetrator. But with shootings, it's not about the perp. It's about the gun. Yeah, and one of the guys who died at that homeless camp next to the King County Courthouse 3 weeks ago, the guy who just came up here from Louisiana, he was stabbed to death. Knife violence. No, they don't say that. So this is how clueless people like Lorena Gonzalez are when it comes to solving violence. She's been on the council, and she still traipses down the same old trails that are meaningless in solving these problems. Okay, let me get back to her tweet. The epidemic of gun violence impacts the entire region, not just Seattle. It's critical for the next mayor to work closely with our state and federal delegations to pass laws that will easily prevent easy access to guns while unlocking resources to fund violence prevention programs. Yes. Yes, let's spend more money. That'll solve things, too. And she wants to prevent easy access to guns. Hey, Lorena Gonzalez, I hate to tell you this, but it's never been more important for the citizens of Seattle who choose to exercise their Second Amendment rights. It's never been more important that they arm themselves with all the criminals people like you have unleashed on this city and on this region. And you want to prevent the good guys from getting guns. You know what, Lorena Gonzalez? The gangbangers are still going to have guns. And there's not a darn thing you can do about it to stop that. All you want to do, and your ilk, is take guns away from the law-abiding, from the people who want to defend themselves, from the people who want to exercise Second Amendment rights. Let's get back to her tweet. Like so many Americans, I am not immune from the devastating loss of life to gun violence. I've personally survived drive-by shootings in my youth. I feel the fear, grief, and frustration that come with each reported loss of life due to a senseless shooting. Drive-bys. It's really interesting. Seattle Police Chief. Because every cop tells me that this is predominantly a gang war. And the Seattle Police Chief a couple days ago was quoted as saying that 16%, I think he said, 16% of the shootings are gang-related. But then he said, no, that doesn't count the drive-bys. Oh, yeah, the drive-bys have nothing to do with gangs, right? You add those in, it's a much higher number. But nobody wants to talk reality. Nobody wants to say, yeah, it's a gang problem. It's a drug problem. Shouldn't legalize drugs. All the things that I talk about all so often. Back to her tweet. We must treat the epidemic of gun violence as a public health problem, not a criminal justice issue. We know from the data that investing in community works to prevent gun violence. Again, more money, just more money. And not a criminal justice issue. Hey, you and your kind, Lorena Gonzalez, on the city council, your party, the radicals, you want to let people who have gun felonies walk free. You say we need tougher laws, and you won't even enforce the existing laws. But then she says, this includes a broad range of programs from hospital-based intervention strategies, youth employment, neighborhood economic development, trauma healing programs. My administration will invest in these strategies that are proven to reduce the epidemic of gun violence, support the investigation of gun violence, and support the passage of sensible gun safety laws and regulations to prevent more guns from coming into our city. Hey, the problem isn't that. Problem is you're importing criminals into our city. And it's the criminals who are killing people. Yeah, Lorena Gonzalez, what a lost soul when it comes to crime. Okay, we will check the news and then continue our breaking news coverage here on the Dory Monson Show.